this episode of The Commercial Break.
I want to read a few Nextdoor posts to you that I've been collecting, and we'll all comment on them together.
We rarely touch on Nextdoor, and I feel like that is like prime content. So good on you. That's a great bit.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is worried about TikTok and the teenagers with TikTok. Everyone is Snapchatting. You know, they're worried about 16-year-olds Snapchatting their ding-dongs and willy-hoo-hoos. And Facebook has become a cesspool for, you know, the greatest generation that never was. Suck up more billions from the poor people. Nextdoor is the most dangerous application available today.
Whoa.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
And kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green, and here we are, the week after Thanksgiving. You know, there comes a time in every young boy's life when he must venture out into the wild and go find himself another podcast to be on. And no, I'm not talking about After the Break, which has picked up production, and you can check that out, After the Break, on any one of the podcast players you're listening to this to, or follow me at Brian W. Green on Instagram, links in the show notes. And I'll let you know when I'm going live during the evenings. You can get involved in the conversation. I am talking about the podcast Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet, which is a fine podcast that has been doing very well for itself in this kind of bootstrapped creator economy that we live in. These are not pre-baked celebrities that have some big fancy podcast with millions of dollars and a fancy network and billion-dollar contracts with Spotify. These are a brother and a sister who got together a number of years ago and decided to create a podcast that is called Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet, Name Too Long. Now, they will admit that themselves, but it's still pretty catchy, you gotta admit. So, what is Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet about? Well, think about it. It's about reviews. Funny, interesting, bad, terrible, provocative, sometimes sad, reviews on the internet of many different things. And according to Christine and Zandy, the brother and sister who do this podcast, there was actually a review of a Airbnb or something like that, motel, hotel, resort. And someone complained that the beach was too sandy, the water was too wet. Now, that could have been a troll, but it's pretty fucking funny. It's pretty fucking funny no matter what it is. And we do something very similar here on the show every once in a while with our next door, but these two do it. That's exclusively what they do. And they have garnered quite an audience, quite a large community, and they've even been on tour. And when I had a chance to be with them a couple of weeks ago, they had just gotten back from their very successful tour. I encourage you to go to beach2sandy.com, where you can get all the information. You can follow them on any of the podcast players you're listening to The Commercial Break on. And it's just a great show. It's a great show. I've known about it for years. I know we have audience members that listen to it for years. When I mentioned a couple of weeks ago I was going to be on their show, we got lots of text messages mentioning how excited they were about this particular collab, if you will. And I was excited when we had the opportunity come along. So I've been on their show. This is kind of like a my show, their show, your show. We all got together one afternoon, and now we're sharing it all in the larger diaspora that is the internets. And so now it's my turn to share what we created together one lazy afternoon. Now, Chrissy was not available when this happened, but she gave me her blessing. She said, go do it. Go be on it. And I did. And here's what, well, not here, but in a few minutes, you'll hear the result of that. Beach2Sandy.com. All the podcast players, I encourage you to go follow them. We didn't do this for our health. We would like to get these. We know you're listening to both podcasts. Some of you, we want to get you on our RSS feeds. So please go over there. I now have to do my part and push you over in that direction, because I'm sure they've done their part and push people in our direction. I should probably go listen to that. I don't think I've heard it yet. But I will tell you this about my time with Zandy and Christine. I really enjoyed it. I had a great deal of fun. It was a laugh a minute. They're great people, good human beings, and they're really fucking funny to boot. And Christine also has a number of other projects also that you can check out. I'm sure you can get connected to all of that with links in my show notes on this episode. So as I recover from my annual traditional Thanksgiving stomach bug, and Chrissy stays as far the hell away from me as possible, we will put one more episode out, and then we'll be back to the normal course of business tomorrow for you. Now, a couple things. You can now watch all the recordings of non-interview episodes, non-infomercial episodes of The Commercial Break. You can watch those live on YouTube, Twitch, and Kick. You can follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. We'll let you know about 15, 30 minutes before we're going live, or you can hit the notification button on any of those platforms and they will notify you when we go live. You can get involved in the conversation. We're already chatting it up with people while we're recording. Soon we'll have the ability to bring you in video audio so you can come in and be a part of The Commercial Break. Isn't that exciting? Technology. Ooh, space. And yeah, that's how it's going to go. Lots of changes coming for season number 7. So stay tuned. Stay with us. Also, after the break, now pick back up a more raw version of After the Break. You go listen to it. I'm not going to make this all about After the Break, but you can go listen to episode number 2. And then also get involved with live recordings. Chat with me, text with me, and possibly jump on with me during those recordings. Follow me, Brian W. Green, at Instagram. I mean, at Brian W. Green on Instagram. You know what the fuck I'm saying? Why'd I have to repeat myself a million times? Now, not like you asked me to, but I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like I need to repeat things a million. I'm in the old radio standard. The old radio standard was you needed to repeat things 3.5 times in order for people to get it through their heads, in order for them to actually pop up and pay attention. So I'm now in this kind of, I have this wheel in my head going that anytime I say something like a phone number or an Instagram address or a URL, I have to repeat it 3 times. But the truth is, you're smart enough. We're all big boys and girls. We can remember things, right? Brian W. Green, at Brian W. Green, at Brian W. Green. There you go. And beach2sandy.com, beach2sandy.com, beach2sandy.com. I'm going to take a short break. And when I get back, the results of a long afternoon with Christine and Zandy from Beach to Sandy, Water to Wet. I will share those with you. We will all have a laugh, probably at my expense. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire Commercial Break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
And Zandy and Christine are here with us now, here with me now, because Chrissy's not here. Aww. Hey, I know. But, you know, sometimes this does happen. She's just the lazier of the two of us. So she decided not to.
Yeah, you've been saying that. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
She had, say something happened.
People say that about her, you know.
People do say that about her. No. Well, no, what people say about her is, when will Brian let her talk? That's what people say about her. Oh. So that's
interesting. Like, what
not today, apparently.
Not today, yeah.
Today. Well, today everything will be just fine.
Today it's our turn.
To that, I usually retort with a couple paragraphs in reinforcing the message that I don't shut up.
Reinforcing it. I like it.
Congratulations on the success of the podcast. So successful, as we were discussing just a few minutes ago, that The Commercial Break has actually done advertising on your show. And so how long are we into the show now? How long have we been doing this? Oh, by the way, for those who don't know, who are listening, and you should go tune in brother and sister. So this is how the two of them got together.
We've been working together since 1991 and 1993, our respective
birthdays. I was not around then. You're old.
It's been a contentious time for the most part as youths. But then as we got older and moved to LA, we were like, we have similar trauma bonding and also, you know, similar sense of humor. And it just, it was end of 2018, I think. So
it was.
However much math that is.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's 7.5 years or something like that. Something. 7 years? Is it 8 years? I don't know. Carry the one plus two. Yeah, don't ask me either. Mathing is not my thing. So you're kind of early in on the podcast, like your pre-podcast bubble, which comes during COVID when everybody decides they're going to get a podcast and Clubhouse and all the spaces and all the other shit. And you've been met with some success in the premise of the podcast. I'll let you explain it to our listeners.
Sure. It's, we read negative reviews from the internet, basically. So we read a lot of 1-star reviews from places like Yelp and TripAdvisor, try to do a different theme each week. And then we have a little challenge with it too. So, one that we did recently that was fun. It was, reviews where the reviewer says, "Do you know who I am?"
Oh, yeah.
Because those are always so funny. People are so ridiculous. So it's usually us making fun of these reviewers or trying to defend these poor employees at all these different businesses who have to deal with the worst people ever. But we ended up having a lot of fun because we are also siblings, so we bicker a lot.
Yeah, people will be like, "Stop arguing." They're like, "Stop arguing," and I'm like, "It's not possible."
Yeah, no, I think that's part of having tuned in. I think that's part of the fun. Part of the fun is that you, as someone who has a lot of siblings, you can understand where you're coming from. It's a debate or argument that I would see myself having with someone else.
How many siblings do you have?
I've got a twin brother. And then I've got two younger brothers. So we're a good, solid Irish Catholic family, almost a basketball team.
I heard about the parasailing or whatever. No, the skydiving. I listened to that episode recently.
Oh,
and
your
twin brother, you found out your brothers were skydiving without
I am terrified
of
heights.
You jumped straight to they were like, "Oh, we'll get over here." And I was like, "Oh my God, I would be so hurt if all my siblings..." But then also I wouldn't want to participate. But yeah, I feel like you had every right to be annoyed about that.
And they purposefully didn't tell me.
And then you said my twin, and I went, "Your twin?"
Did you feel it? Like your twin jumped out of the plane and you're like, "Whoa, why do I feel so shaky on the ground?"
I felt a disturbance in the force. Yeah, no one had texted me for a couple of days. And I was like, "What?" And then so I just on a Saturday, on a lark, I still remember driving down this particular road and going, "I should call Kevin and see what he's up to." Mm-hmm. And I call and I'm like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Oh, just hanging out with Patrick, one of our other brothers." And Danny's on his way. And I said, "Oh, what are you guys doing?"
Weird.
"We're skydiving." But don't get upset.
Oh my gosh.
Because we know you wouldn't do it. So we just decided not to tell you. And I'm like, "Why didn't you tell me?" And they're like, "Because we know you won't jump out of a plane. You're terrified of heights. You can't stand on a ladder." To which I said, "Fuck you. I'm on my..." Well, no, actually what he said was, "Brian, I'm so confident you won't do it. I'll pay for you to do it if you show up." And I showed up just to spite him.
See? Yeah.
And there is video. And I am as white as I have ever been as they are just about to push me out of a plane. I can't believe I did it. I still can't.
You did it though? Oh, great. That's so good.
Hey, listen, we went skydiving because
our
mother...
That's so weird because
our mother guilted us into skydiving with her for her
16.
No.
No, that's not what happened. I was getting flashbacks. I was a little shaky just hearing this story because I can relate. You and our mother, for your birthdays, which are both in the summer, decided to go skydiving together. And we do have a younger sister, but she was too young to go. For me, I don't know why you didn't invite me. You just didn't. So, of course, I got upset and I was...
Is that real?
Yeah. And then the next day or something, you said, "Surprise.
That story from your podcast really stuck with me."
You've done this before, basically.
Way too familiar. I didn't realize I had done this exact thing.
Yeah, and sure enough, they were like, "Oh, we got you a ticket. Now you can join us." And I really didn't want to, but I was, you know, being the little brother. I was like, "I have to join." And so I did. And yeah, it was horribly terrifying, and I'm surprised I did it, but it was really fun.
Our mom's secretary showed up, and she...
It was a weird foursome.
It was a weird group. But yeah, okay, Alexander, you know what? I'm over here going, "I would be so upset if my siblings did that to me."
Yeah, I know. I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?
What are you doing?"
I'm like, it's not even that long. I mean, I guess it was, but
I tell the story like, wow, I didn't want to do it. My mom guilted me into it and I hated
it. Full of shit.
No, she's the like, story is you wanted to do it and you forgot to mention to Zandy
fine,
that you were
show. Okay. It's the first time I've ever been official. Wrong on a podcast and I feel fine. We'll put a flag in it. Okay.
Don't take the law into your own hands.
Sheesh,
you take them to court. so, oh, wait, hold on. Okay. So I have to ask this question. So are you also terrified of heights? Like,
not
it's not
that
your
bad.
Thing?
No. I mean, it's definitely not something I would generally sign up for normally. Like, it was not
sort of
on
like
my radar.
Physical thrill seekers. Like, I'm like, I don't need to be jumping off anything.
Am I a thrill seeker in any other way?
No, but I mean, like, okay, maybe sometimes psychologically we're a little bit, like, not the wisest about
spiritually, too.
Spiritually very risky behavior. No. but, you know, physically speaking, I don't want to jump off anything anymore. I did, apparently, really want to when
I would probably do it again. So I definitely don't think I'm afraid of heights because I would do it again. I wouldn't seek it out, but it was something like I remember in the moment being like, wow, this is such a unique, cool experience I'm having. And I would do it again.
That's
all I remember is not being able to breathe and hearing the instructor say scream. That I just remember him going scream, scream. Yeah, because they had taught, you know, they give you that course, right?
I mean, I asked, how do you breathe when
me
you're
too.
Falling? And they go, oh, you'll just know to breathe. You'll just breathe. And then, of course, in
it didn't
my
work
mind,
that
I'm
way.
Like, wait, yeah. How do I breathe? I mean, yeah. Really, it was, I'm so glad you said that because I was like, I thought I was the only one.
No, and the guy that, you know, was right on my back, he said, scream. That's what you do. If you scream, the air is going out. It's got to come back in. So just scream. That's what you do, right? And I was like, oh, that sounds smart. But of course, I totally forgot everything the second that I get to the door of the plane.
Sure.
And then they have, I don't know about you, but they had the kind of harness that they had for me. There is this moment after the chute is pulled when they unclip a certain part of the parachute. So you can, so instead of your heads being together, you fall a little bit forward, a little bit down. And I don't think I was also paying attention to that part of the course.
Because I
was
right, just, like I remember any of this. But I
know, I'm
you.
Like, oh, this sounds
you.
Terrifying.
There is like this 1 second, split second, when you, it feels Jeez. Like you're decoupling from the person that you're in
from
front
your
of.
Old forgot lifeline. That.
Oh my God, I almost shit myself.
Yeah,
I was
like, yeah.
Oh, I didn't, I enjoyed it once the parachute was deployed, then
okay.
I felt like, okay, at least we have a shot at making
yeah.
it. But
did you do it somewhere in Georgia?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did it in Georgia that's now closed because of multiple deaths.
That's I'm always nice. Good, too. That's always comforting.
We've read some reviews of these places. Yeah, there's some interesting stories
people
have.
Yeah, when you read one-star reviews only of every place that you think about and talk about, you really start to get like a different feel for your life.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
I feel like the podcast that you have is a little bit, you know, I worked in the service industry, in the restaurant industry for the first 12 years of my working life. From like 14, my parents were like, you want shoes? Go buy them. So I was working at McDonald's as the fry guy on the weekends, right? At 14, that work permit. And then I worked through my early 20s. And I don't think I can go into a restaurant now and look at it the same way that everybody else does. So I have family members that will, they're just entitled and they don't treat service very well. And it bugs me to no end. It really pisses me off because I look at service in a whole different way. Mm-hmm. This person's having a bad day. It's this person's first day. Or sometimes I can identify this person's really bad at what they do. And this is probably not the business for them.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Don't worry.
Yeah. Exactly. I sense that if you're reading 1-star reviews consistently about different things, that maybe you start to look at the world in a little bit of a different way. Does this give you more empathy for the people out there in the world,
you know,
who are serving you?
100%.
And it's like, I think we always had that initially, which is why we started the podcast. And we never really worked in the restaurant industry, but we've had all manner of jobs and all that. And we've always grown up in a very similar attitude of like, hey, like, let's be compassionate with these people. They're having a hard time, or, you know, whatever it might be. And then when we started the podcast, we kind of leaned into that, and people would come and email and say like, oh my God, like, here's a review I got at work. Thank you for making me laugh about it. You know, it was just like, oh, okay. There is this kind of audience out there who's like, thank you. You know, that's how we feel. So it's definitely, embolden us in the anti-Karen movement.
When we first started, I feel like I was very like hard on myself, and I would take criticism very harshly. So when I was reading these one star reviews of these employees, I'd be like, oh my God, these poor people. But then people started sending in reviews and via email, and they'd say, oh yeah, the crew, we get together and read these one star reviews. And I'm like, oh my God, I could never do that about my own podcast or my own work that I do. How are these people like able to do this shitty job where they're shitty people and then still laugh at the shitty people being shitty? I was always just so impressed by that. It really is.
Why do we care what people say about our stupid podcast if there are people out there like trying to make a living and just getting bullied by old women?
And sure enough, I don't care anymore. We did a review, an episode where we read reviews of our own podcast, and it was one of my favorites.
I was just watching some clips of that. Yeah. You know, and Chrissy and I have done this a lot on our show too. And it's not, I learned this statistic when I worked in the restaurant industry. This is long before one-star reviews on Reddit, right? This is like before. I'm so much older than you all are. But so when I started working, I don't even know that the telephone existed yet. But then they would say, these managers that I worked for, they would say, if you have a good experience, like an average experience, a good experience, right? You might, if it's like a spectacular experience, tell one other person.
Fair enough.
If you have a bad experience, you will tell anybody that will listen. So what we want to do is avoid the bad experiences, right? You can have an okay experience. You can have a good experience. But if you have a bad experience, that can destroy the reputation of a restaurant, and it can ruin someone's day, essentially. And so at least the place where I worked, they really get kind of ingrained into our heads that customer service was the most important thing. And I feel like that's kind of tailed off in a lot of ways and a lot of places. And we also understand that the people working behind the counter are people too. Mm-hmm. And the customer's not always right. But that was what was kind of banged into my head. When I read some of these reviews, I think about that. I go, you know what? The bad reviews are the people who just don't like the show. And they take the time. You can't win. They take the time to bitch and complain because that's who they are and that's what they do. And we try to take it with a grain of salt. But I will read 10 great reviews about the show or me or Chrissy or whoever, and I forget all of those.
Immediately.
The second the bad review comes in, that motherfucker.
Even just as an instinctual reaction, then you can pull away from it. But at that first,
but
like,
still, it's always that case. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of broken open a lot of conversations around that.
I found the people who really have feedback will email us or something. We'll like actually want to have a conversation with us rather than just post a one-star review shitting on us in some way. Like the people who actually have concerns or feedback that is useful will usually reach out to us in other ways. But I do find it's so true that there's so many one-star reviews we read where people will say, oh, I always love coming here except today. And it's like, well, so you finally wrote a review and it was only because you hated what happened today.
I've been coming here for 10 years and today I had a terrible time and I'm writing a one-star review.
They don't think maybe they could have written a five-star when they had a great time. But no, they only write the one-star because that's what they remember.
And I guess if you think about human nature just for a second, it kind of makes sense, right?
Totally.
It's like when we're angry, that's when we're fired up and we want to take control over something. We want to control how the outcome is. I'll get you. I'll be on top. I'll figure it out. People don't sometimes realize the power of their own words. Has anybody ever identified that this review is about me and I want to call these people or text them or email them and let them know that this was, I know that it's such a vast sea of reviews that it's like finding a needle in a haystack. But when I was thinking about this morning, I was curious if you have ever had someone go, I think that's about me and I should reach out.
I'm trying to remember because I feel like there might have been.
There may have. I don't know if we've ever had someone do that. We definitely have had people send in reviews mentioning them, so they'll say like, oh, my boss sent this over, like that this was written on, and then, which is always fun because then they'll give the backstory, like, for context, you know, this woman came in drunk and she was carrying a dog or whatever. Of course, the stuff the reviewer's leaving out of the review to holier
of course.
So that's always fun, but I don't know that we've ever had someone say, like, I mean,
like where we pick one and then someone else is like, wait, that's me. I don't think
delightful.
We've had that yet.
No,
but
I don't think
we were just in Omaha and did a live show there, and we walk into the green room and there's a printed out one-star review of the venue. And they were so, they showed it to us, and it was honestly like pretty, like pretty normal. Like, it wasn't that crazy. But then the owner said like, oh yeah, this person was high on Molly. They were like hiding. They were in this alleyway. And what we were like, oh, all of this is missing from this review. This is amazing context. We're so glad you shared this with us, because we would have been like, oh, okay, that's annoying that they wrote this. Oh, there's a lot more to this story, huh?
Very interesting. That's when you put yourself up for crucifixion. That's a truly interesting way to do it. And what is the most brutal review that you can remember reading? Like, which is the one that sticks with you when you go over the? I mean, how many episodes are you in to the show?
361.
Yeah, that's a lot of episodes. That's a lot of episodes. Yeah. Do you have one that just sticks with you? Like, holy shit! This
okay?
One.
We have some themes that we've had to axe because we were like, oh, this is too dark. Because you know, you like you think, of course, like the entitled reviewers, right, are like the funny ones or the that space where you can joke around, and then there are like the extremely racist or like the things where you're like, cool, not necessarily funny or my place to like say these things aloud. Because people, I mean, Yelp allows a lot of words, which I'm always shocked they allow. Alexander, what are some of the,
You can put slurs on Yelp, and they'll still be there 10 years later.
Yeah,
it's shocking.
You can say like the F word, but you can like say a homophobic slur, and they'll like keep it in. So a lot of that we're like, maybe not. And the toughest one for me personally was looking up veterinarians. And I'm like, this will be funny. And it was like episode 10, and we found out very quickly, like, oh, it's just a lot of people losing their pets and getting sick.
Yeah.
There's literally nothing funny about any of this.
The most brutal ones are always the truest ones. It feels like they're being honest. And I will say, though, one of the most brutal, because usually, most of the time, we're on the side of the reviewer, person receiving the review, sorry.
Sure.
So the brutal ones are the ones where we're like, oh shit, there's no coming back from this one. This was very clearly the person was at fault. And I always think of that fucking Kansas City cab company that she brought these reviews of this cab company. She's read this every time we went to Kansas City, both times. It's this cab driver who's drinking on the job, who's like stalking the passenger, who's like literally like everything you can do wrong as a taxi driver.
Like hitting things with his car, it's harassing.
And this person just keeps coming back and is like, oh, I tried them again. Oh, they got me again.
It's like a 12-part update. And it's insane. On Yelp, you can see how many months have passed since the last review. And she'll wait like 4 months. She'll go, never again, yellow cab. And then 4 months later, she's like, well, here I am again. And I'm like, what are you doing? Get an Uber. This was not that long ago. So definitely there are times where you're like, I can't look at this anymore. It's depressing, but all right.
So follow up to this. Do you, because this brings up an interesting question that I was thinking about earlier also, do you have to screen those reviews for trolls? Because we know that people just love to, I mean, there are some people that are really funny out there on the comments, right? I came here for the comment section. It's a whole version of comedy. There's like stand-up comedy, improv comedy, I don't know, clown school, mimes, and in the comments section. Some people are really fucking funny.
Amazing.
They're really good at that.
Yeah,
it's like a gift.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people have that gift because that's one of my, I'm sure, just like you, it's one of my favorite things to do is sometimes go to the comment section.
Yes.
But the reviews have become the place I've noticed also in our own like next door, you know, segment that I have to kind of understand that some of these might be people trolling, but it's fun anyway to read them. Do you have some kind of, you know, radar out there for trolls?
We do. 100%. And it's actually really annoying. And it stinks because sometimes you'll be like really invested and then you realize like, oh, this person is just full of like trying to make a joke. So there are a lot of fake ones. Or Alexander has been discovering a lot of AI reviews.
So many AI reviews where I'm reading and I'm like, this person's about to set up a whole scene. And I'm like, oh, never mind. It's just they plugged it into ChatGPT or something and got some long, wordy bullshit review that really doesn't help anyone who's reading reviews.
Tell anything of any. Yeah, it's very. Yeah. It's like people need a hobby, you know, like a better one.
For the trolls, sometimes they are funny. Like we do use them sometimes, but It's more like, hey, if I find it funny, I'm going to read it. Or if I think it's going to bother her. That's the other one.
Yeah.
Is like, if I think that she's going to hate that I read it, I'm going to read it. That's the other. So we at least have like I create reasons to read the troll reviews.
Yeah.
You guys have a little gamesmanship going on here, huh?
Like we try.
Yeah.
I think we're both losing, but yeah, probably.
I would say you're both winning. You're doing a podcast for a living, right?
I'd say. Fair enough, yeah.
You're doing okay.
I'll take it.
You're doing okay. When anyone says, you know, something about their day at work, I have to remind myself, as much as I want to bitch and complain about the whatever, the wire that didn't plug in or the, you know,
the low guest advertising. You had today.
The guest didn't plug her microphone in correctly.
That plugged it into number four. I have to go, well, you know, I do podcasting.
I'm at home right now. Like, I should not complain. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys record from separate places usually, or is this just? Have you done this? Okay.
We lived together when we started the podcast. Now and then, he moved far away from me.
So. Okay. Aww. No, she moved first. She abandoned me. She abandoned me during COVID time in L.A. So I was alone in L.A.
That part's true.
As she and her and my brother-in-law moved to Northern Kentucky. So
Northern Kentucky.
Thank you. That's that's the reaction I wanted.
What are you doing in Northern Kentucky?
I'm podcasting. Thank you very much.
Are you like in Paducah? Where are you?
No. I love Paducah. Okay, no.
I love Paducah.
I pulled out some t-shirts today. One of them was my Paducah winery shirt. We're from the Cincinnati area, Alexander and I. So okay. I moved back to Cincinnati, but I'm right over the river. It's like Newport, Kentucky, right on the
like
on
a 10-minute drive from where we grew up. So it does make a little sense.
It does sound more shocking when you say Kentucky. So,
but yeah. I live in New York, which is a little more exciting.
But I would listen. I get the I grew up in Chicago, right? So I get that kind of Midwest vibe. But you know, there's that weird space that Cincinnati, Kentucky, Southern Indiana. Like there's this weird vacuum of. It's beautiful, but it's very flat. Mm-hmm. And I wonder sometimes if it's dangerous. It doesn't look dangerous, but it feels dangerous. You know what I'm saying? When I'm driving through there sometimes. So I get skeptical sometimes. People say, I moved to Kentucky. I moved to Kentucky?
You actually chose
to be there?
I know. And it's kind of weird. And after leaving so many years ago, it was like, what am I doing? But then I don't know. Maybe it was some guardian angel was like, get out of LA. And my husband worked in the ER. And I was like, what? Okay. And then we bought a house February 2020. And then a month later, we were like, oh my God, what's going on? And so I did abandon Zandy.
Less than a year later, I came running and I moved to Cincinnati for a few years. So
I'm just trying to leave.
You didn't try. You didn't try anything.
That's what happened with the skydiving too, I bet. I don't remember.
You inspired me to skydive. You inspired me to move to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right. Wow. Welcome.
What inspired you to move to New York? Just had to get out of Cincinnati?
My ex. My ex and I were long distance. She was living here in New York and got to a point where I thought, you know what? I'd love to try New York. I've lived in LA. I've lived a little bit in DC. I would love a new city to try. I like living in a city. And
I suggested Paducah, but he was not taking it.
Believe it or not, my ex was like, I'm not moving to Cincinnati. And I told her, I don't want you to move to Cincinnati. I do not want to be responsible for that. So I'm very glad I did move to New York. It's been lovely. I've been here 2 years. I am planning on moving again probably soon, but just because I want a change of pace. I'm fortunate to be able to do this wherever I am. So yeah. I'm going to try a new city probably pretty soon.
I agree with you. Sometimes I think about moving to Spain, especially the last six months. I'm like, oh, Spain sounds good.
Spain sounds lovely.
Wow. That has not been on my radar.
My wife is Venezuelan and she's also a Spanish citizen. So she's an American citizen and a Spanish citizen.
Hell yeah.
And so are my children. And so I'm like the odd man out. They could probably get out real quick if they needed to. And I just have to kind of tag along and beg for mercy. But sometimes I go, we could do this from Spain. But, you know, then I look at Spain and like any place you'd like the major cities where you'd want to live. It's not like they're substantially cheaper than what you would do here. Little bit. Like the food and stuff like that, you know, public travel. But besides that,
healthcare.
Healthcare just comes with the package. That's what it is.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah. Imagine that. It seems to be working out okay over there. Yeah. And if you want to pay for extra healthcare, you feel free to pay for extra healthcare. Cool. You want to see a doctor a little quicker, a little sooner, or you want to go to a specialist that's not in the program, then guess what? They have those too. But that's a whole conversation. You know, I'll say this, the times when we get the most flack on this show, on the reviews, and we do our best to stay away from politics on the show, but sometimes politics becomes it creeps in.
It's life, right?
It's
you
like
have kids. I mean, yeah. you're trying yeah,
it's
to survive.
A privilege to not be affected by politics, and I think Agreed. Most people nowadays are, and especially those who have less privilege than others. So
that's right, and we find ourselves biting our tongues and sometimes not being able to bite our tongues. Like, we've got to mention something. Do you find in the comment sections, it's hard, or the review sections, that I find almost everything is touched by politics now. So divisive in this country that everyone wants to throw in. Oh, well, you're a Republican. Oh, you're a liberal. Whatever it is. Do you find it's difficult sometimes to navigate the comment section with or without politics?
Incredibly.
I think.
I mean, especially when we're on tour and we have to read from different specific cities. Mm. And it goes both ways. But like when we're on tour in cities that are generally like more conservative, you'll read a lot of reviews of certain, like places like certain museums and different libraries or whatever. And they're talking about pride flags and drag shows, like these things that aren't actual issues, but they're saying the most hateful things.
Oh,
and
so you
it
mean
just
like
gets
reading through them. That's where. Or
oh, is that what,
like,
is that what you mean?
Like on our on the podcast itself.
No, not on the podcast itself.
Oh, just the reviews.
Yeah, like in the review section.
Oh, it's everywhere. Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. Both sides. I mean, both sides, all over. It's like, it's hard to find things that are not.
We're all guilty of it.
Definitely more hateful from one side generally. I will say that. But, no, it's, and with, what was I going to say? With politics.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. Something just completely left my brain. It'll be
Zandy glitched. He glitched live on the show.
That was my fault.
That's not the first time.
All right. I'm going to, when you think
about
it.
I remembered it.
Go ahead.
We had an episode recently where, so Cracker Barrel changed their logo.
Oh, yeah.
And the dumbest shit.
We thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
And Cracker Barrel was kind of a running joke because we'd spent a lot of time growing up. Like, our dad would bring us Cracker Barrel on road trips all the time. Uh-huh. And we talked about the peg game.
We're German, by the way. Like, our parents are, we're first generation American. Our whole family's German. So, like, when we go to Cracker Barrel, it's like our very German dad with a very thick accent. So, our experience at Cracker Barrel, I feel like, was not necessarily like the average middle America experience.
We had this
weird affinity for Cracker Barrel. So, yeah, we leaned into
So, when this happened,
very Quaker. Yeah.
Yes.
So when all this happened, we were reading reviews and we read reviews of it. And then the next day is when they reversed it. So, then we actually did a follow-up episode a week after, and I will say we did get comments from listeners saying like they want fewer politics, or a couple people. It wasn't anything that bad, and I thought it was interesting because I thought we do tend to avoid so much. Like, sometimes I fear that we don't say enough on the show with everything that's going on. So for that, it felt like a little way to be like, get a little bit out there of like, this, look at this ridiculous situation. Even this is touched by this divisiveness.
We're doing Cracker Barrel. Even this is, why are you being so political? It's like, it's a Cracker Barrel.
Like, it's not our fault people are making it political.
They made it political. I'm just commenting on
it. What
the hell? Right.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I will say is that, you know, recently we've started to open our, open the guardrails a little bit on some of the things that we talk about. And like you said, it's hard sometimes not to see what's going on the television or read about it or whatever, and then not go, I can't comment. If I have a show that's brought, you know, that's running 4 days a week, I can't not say something about this. But there's one lady who, when we, I said something a couple months ago, and then she wrote this comment on Spotify, you know, stop being political, you know, stay in your lane. You're not funny when you're political, whatever. And then over the course of a couple months, it started a dialogue on our text message hotline. That started a dialogue, but that dialogue went completely the way I did not expect it to go. And we both ended up agreeing with each other on a lot more stuff than we ever disagreed, to the point where I was like, maybe I should have spoken up a long time ago. Because if this one person, I don't know if I've changed her mind about anything, but I think that she's agreeing that some of the stuff that we're seeing is just like insane, right? And that she, that's not what she would have voted for. So I go, oh, well, at least if at least one person out there, we can have a conversation together.
It's like reasonable together. Enough to be yeah. able it is reasonable to respond. Enough. And, yeah.
But I'm under no delusion that everybody's like that. Yeah. All right. I want to read a few Next Door posts to you that I've been collecting, and we'll all comment on them together.
We rarely touch on Next Door, and I feel like that is like prime content. So good on you. That's a great bit.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is worried about TikTok and the teenagers with TikTok. Everyone is Snapchatting. You know, they're worried about 16-year-old Snapchatting their ding-dongs and willy hoo-hoos. And Facebook has become a cesspool for, you know, the greatest generation that never was.
The
to, you know, continue to suck up more billions from the poor people. Next Door is the most dangerous application available today.
Whoa.
Because the average age, at least where I live, of users is got to be over 70 years old. Oh. And they have all lost their ever fucking loving minds. Now, I understand after 70, you might just kind of lose it anyway. You're starting to slide backwards a little bit.
Okay,
these people
you.
Are insane. Some of the posts that I have read in my area on this show defy any logic whatsoever.
My gosh.
It's like insane. Now, be warned, I don't know. There could be trolls out there. I'm sure they are. So I don't claim that every single one of these is like a serious post. But I think a good chunk of them are because when I look at them, I can see the profile picture of the person.
That and helps.
It's like, you know, a dog eyeball. You know what I'm saying? Like a picture taken by grandma on a
Tuesday
night.
It's like a picture of Elvis that they took of their computer screen. Yeah.
Yes. Or a picture of their shoes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
Rhonda says, has anyone else seen the googly eyeballs on the mailbox at ... Should I call the police or just go to City Hall to have them remove it? It is scaring my dog. Fucking Halloween, lady. I love that.
Those two options. Those are really my only two things I do when I have something I'm not too happy about. Police, call City Hall. Police. That's
City
it.
Hall.
Where one or the other. I mean, imagine the poor City Hall employees are like, please don't come back for that.
I know.
We've seen enough of you this week, Rhonda. Go ahead.
I've been to some City Hall meetings for like zoning stuff, and there's one lady.
Rhonda?
One lady. Yeah, I don't know if her name is. I might be.
Might
I don't know. But she comments on every single.
Oh boy!
She's just one of those people who has to be involved.
Has an opinion.
Yeah, she has an opinion, and she'll let them know. And they grace, you know, they graciously give her 3.5 minutes or whatever it is, and then they move on. They say thank you, and then they
thank
move on.
You. As usual, thank you.
Here's an enterprising young man who said, "Found 19-inch MacBook Pro inside of stranger's unlocked car. Does anyone recognize?" I swear to God.
Should I call the police or
should I call the police or go to
What is going on? I don't know.
It's crazy. Like this is one of those where I think maybe it's a troll, but I don't know.
It's hard to people behave this way. People are unhinged. Yeah.
They are. Yeah. You stole it out of someone's unlocked.
And they're like, no, well, I didn't want someone to steal it. It's like, you just did. What are you talking about? You literally just did that.
So there is a picture of the back of someone's head. I'm just giving you some context there. Picture of back of someone's head. I want to say a big thank you and a big F you to my neighbor. And I'm not even going to say his first name because if people know, but who sicked the raccoon on my garbage.
What?
Look at the mess he's made. I'll get you.
Oh my God.
Okay. First of all, when the older generation also, when they start threatening people, I start to get alarmed. I'm like, it sounds way more threatening coming.
They've
out
They've got less to lose at that age.
Yeah.
They'll do some crazy shit. But you got Snow White over there, like controlling these raccoons?
That was my question.
Cinderella?
Too.
I don't know who does that. But
pet raccoon? How did you exactly get it to attack?
I knew a man who had a pet raccoon named Jack the Rack, and he
that is
talked
true.
About how like he had no control over this raccoon. He was like, I have the raccoon at my house because now I've made my decision and it's too late. But he's like, don't ever do this. They love shiny things. and they love water. So they'll go and turn on every faucet in the entire apartment. They'll go and like collect anything shiny, break like electrical things, like to take the shiny parts. He was like, they're a nightmare. And so I can't imagine anybody it has that much control that they can like sick a raccoon. I mean, maybe some sort of.
Like I don't understand. Person. Yeah.
I couldn't like sick a dog on someone successfully. Like all the dogs I know, I'm like,
and
not
why
that
the
I have
trash?
One.
Like if she's about to attack you, you might as well just right
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
on
the raccoons. I've seen those the people online who have the pet raccoons mm-hmm. and they're like in the walls, like burrowing yeah, everywhere.
They
it seems to me like this is like once you realize that you've made this mistake, it's, like a day in, go ahead and release it back to the wild, right?
Yeah. I think they find their way back. I mean, I think these things are very
smart.
Enterprising. I can yeah. find that now. It's such a good word, but I don't know. They find their way.
I saw a lady on
cats, what do you call that, Zanny? The cat door to go outside. They would like mm-hmm. climb in at night.
That's insane to even yeah. have that. No. I've seen these people online who have the pet possums too.
Oh yeah,
I love possums.
I have a fear of them. I don't know what they are.
It's a
They're
natural
aliens.
Fear, and I like that.
have so many possum stuff. I'm like, where's my pot? Okay, I can't scare you right now. Nothing's in reach. Yeah.
We did a whole thing for about a month on possums and how much Brian dislikes possums. But anyway,
oh wow, so this okay. is like lore, like canon already. Okay, got it.
Yeah. All right. So one guy says, "Lost chicken." Right? Puts a picture of the okay. chicken. Was in my backyard. I managed to escape. Can't find it. It is our family pet. If you see it, can you please return it? And then someone else puts a picture of his chicken nugget.
No.
No, I knew it. I was like a roast chicken.
Found chicken. Found chicken. Tastes great with barbecue sauce.
So terrible.
These people are just waiting at their Hotmail yes. inbox for one of these posts to come in so they can just sit there and troll. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
This sounds like our stepdad. Our stepdad would do, like, that if he had next door, thankfully he doesn't. He would be doing that.
He would be this guy posting, like, making funny comments back at people or posting this crazy
honestly,
shit.
Honestly, he would be making funny comments and then being really specifically helpful with people's lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
he's one of those guys.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like one of my parents is on this app and making these ridiculous things, but uh-huh. I don't want to call them out by name, but I know that I have a couple parents, some of them, my parents are like,
totally.
It's a little bit of a weird family history, but that's okay. I want the people in my neighborhood, names the neighborhood, to please stop posting the welcome neighbor sign at the front. It is bringing in trash from other municipalities.
Oh, no.
Wait. So you put the welcome sign, turn it around so they think they're entering when they exit?
No, no. He's putting it there. Someone's putting welcome new neighbor. So like if someone moves into the neighborhood, they put a welcome new neighbor. And he said it's bringing in trash from other municipalities or other suburbs. When are we going to learn that immigrants are not welcome? And it's like immigrants
into your neighborhood?
Yeah, you're like, talking about someone like moving from the
migrated from
over.
The west side. Yeah, what the fuck?
Everything gets
card?
Political. Everything.
Really? Everything.
You can't welcome your new neighbor because that is bringing in trash.
Well, if your neighbor's trash, then what are you supposed to do, Brian? That's what you're saying, you know?
Stick a raccoon on them.
That's true. Lost chicken. I think the raccoon and the chicken might have something to do with each other.
There has to be a correlation or a connection there. Yeah.
Parking complaint. This white car keeps parking in front of my house. I don't think this is legal. That's what they say. Then the first comment is, this is me, Terry. I'm your neighbor. I've been parking here for 6 months because I live next door.
How many times do I tell you? Oh, my God.
And then the original commenter, the original poster says, I don't believe you.
What?
And then the guy, I guess, you know, the original poster's name is Terry, says, just walk next door and talk to me about it.
Oh, my God, I'm standing outside.
To which Terry replies, prove it.
What?
Oh, Terry.
I mean, really, Terry.
This is insane. People are insane. Need a good electrician. Where do I find one? Found this phone number on the back of someone's truck. Are they reliable? Are you just hoping
found
that somebody
found this MacBook inside someone's truck and a phone number for an electrician?
Well, you know, the electricians drive down the street and you see the phone number. But she just posts the phone number and hopes that someone's going to recognize it and go, they're reliable.
Oh, yeah,
honestly, our stepdad would be like, yeah, that's TV Bob, that guy. We know him.
He
see, he knows the electricians memorized. Around town. Like, this, these people just need to text our stepdad. He's got answers.
Yeah. If your dog poops on my lawn one more time, I, as the president of this HOA, am going to make sure that dogs are banned from the neighborhood. You've been warned.
Wow.
I don't know what HOA, I mean, he says the HOA, but you know, it's probably like three houses in an HOA, but why taking it next door as if all the people in the HOA are going to
recognize that? Immediate red flag. It's like when people say like, oh, I am contacting my lawyer, and I'm like, you're on Yelp. You're not contacting your lawyer. You're on Yelp. Like, you're not, like, prove
your
it.
Your lawyer would not want you posting on Yelp right now.
Your lawyer's not asking you to post this on Yelp. Exactly. I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah. It's, and again, we have to take all of this with a grain of salt, right? I think some people are just having fun on here, but I do believe that knowing this neighborhood that I live in, I do believe that some of this is real.
I bet. And like, next door people always give me the like wannabe HOA vibes, which is so bizarre because HOA, like the stuff you read just from HOAs is sometimes so ridiculous. And then the next door people who are acting like that without even there being an HOA. Just move somewhere where the laws are like way too strict, where you can't like have a little flag on your door.
And then, well, that's what they get. Sometimes they paint themselves into a corner. I remember my father lived in a neighborhood of like 10 houses, like 10 to 11 houses, something like that. And they asked him, do you want to be the president of the HOA? And he said, sure. And then, you know, three people voted or whatever. And within a day, like the first HOA meeting, he's like, fuck that. I'm out.
There's a reason nobody else had volunteered, right? I'm always why does nobody else want to do this? Because then I certainly don't either. Yeah.
Because it's all grief. No one, you know, no one pats you on the back. You have to make decisions that are tough. And then you got to spend people's money or tell them to give you more money that you don't want. You just make rules.
Sounds like a terrible...
HOAs are ridiculous. I one time had a condo down in Florida, and there's one reason why I don't have that condo down in Florida anymore. It's HOA. That's it. Three letters, HOA. Yeah, they're always asking you for more money. There's like, $47,000.
It feels made up. It's like, what?
And it feels like they always pick the priciest thing. We got to do it the right way. Do you have to do it the right way, or can you do it the most inexpensive way? Because, you know, it's a brand new grill for outside. Do we really need to buy a $47,000 grill?
Oh, I mean,
all right. So you can find Zandi and Christine's podcast. There are links in the show notes. That's Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet, which I love. Took me a minute to get it. When I first heard the name of your podcast, took me a minute to get it. But then when I listened to the show, I go, oh, I get it. Then
it's just some people. I feel like maybe we could have come up with an easier name. But, you know, it was actually originally going to be like even more words and say like ice too cold, and we were like,
somehow this was the best option we came up with.
This was the best option.
Well, I feel like Beach Too Sandy is a good, like, you know, it's a good, I don't know, you can paraphrase it by saying Beach Too Sandy. That's a good one.
It's real reviews. Those were real things we saw. Like we picked those comments specifically from reviews of a beach, and or two different beaches where someone was complaining the water was too wet and someone was complaining the beach was too sandy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And my posts are crazy.
Huh? No, listen, they are actually very crazy.
Those next door people are probably also on Yelp is the problem.
Yeah, that's true. There's probably a lot of crossover.
I feel like when you're willing to go in on one, you're probably willing to go in on others.
Precisely.
You can find their podcast on the links below wherever you're listening to the commercial break. They're available also, and I'll put their Instagram links and all the pertinent details. And then Christine is also a part of a number of other podcasts, so I'll throw those in for good measure.
Thank you.
I have had a great deal of fun, and I look forward to being on your podcast soon.
Yeah,
also.
We can't wait.
Thank
this
you for
was so much
us.
Fun.
What a delight! And say hi to Chrissy. And I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I've missed her, but
we'll get together again. Time. And next time.
Next time it'll be us and her. You can not be
not
there.
Invited.
I'm out.
And then we'll do all four. It'll just be we'll do a little bit of everything.
We'll just mix and match.
Yeah,
we're a throuple in multiple
speed
different
dating.
Combinations.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll go right along with my current favorite TV show, which is Seeking Sister Wife. So there you go.
Oh, good show.
Oh, I haven't started that one. Yeah. Okay.
Great show. Oh, you're six seasons behind, so get started.
Oh, boy.
You better hurry.
You better hurry. Thanks, guys. I appreciate
Thanks.
Rachel here. While Brian takes his old man bladder to the little boys' room, let's talk turkey. TCB needs your help. If you love the show, do us all a favor and share. Sharing is caring, and we know you care, don't you? Well, don't you? Ooh, that was some childhood trauma rearing its ugly head. Do you want to be on the show? Leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3822, and you could be the next TCB disembodied voice. Ooh, what'd you do today? I was a disembodied voice. You know, that sounds more dangerous than it actually is. Find us on Insta at The Commercial Break, on the web at tcbpodcast.com, and all the episodes on video are available the same day at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. I'm going to go help Brian get back up the stairs while you listen to the sponsors, and then we'll all meet back here and get back to this episode of The Commercial Break. I'll take a raise now, bitches. Bye.
Now, wasn't that fun? I mean, the meeting of two great comedy minds, Christine and Zandy. Christine and Zandy, but they do that every week. And then here I am, you know, walking into the party and taking a hot one on the floor. But, you know, hey, listen, I can only do what I can do, and that's what I can do. But if you enjoyed it, go follow them. Beach2Sandy.com, as I repeatedly told you in the first 15 minutes of the episode. Like I said, when I mentioned to Chrissy, when we were talking about this right after I recorded it, we got 12, 15 text messages about people were like, oh my God, I love that podcast. I'm so excited you were on it. So we know that there is what they call a cross stream of listenership going on there. I don't know if that's what they call it. I just made that up. Why did you just make that up, Brian? I just made it up. This is why I was good in a boardroom. Because I would say shit like that all the time. And people would be like, oh, he knows what... Look at him. He knows what he's talking about. That's Brian Green. He gave us the Brian look. I did. I did indeed give you the Brian look. Okay. All the links in the show notes. Thank you to Christine and Zandy. I hope we get to do this collab again, and I hope we get to do it with Chrissy. We all agreed it would be better with Chrissy. So next time Chrissy's in the room with us, thank you very much to those two. After the break, my side project, my other podcast, which I put out one episode and then went dark for 4 weeks, I am now doing this as a come as it goes, take it or leave it, whenever I decide to turn on the microphone kind of podcast. I will also broadcast those live. I will stream them live, and then I will put them on the RSS feed as soon as I'm done. No muss, no fuss. This is not going to be the highly produced, investigative 60 minutes of podcasting that I had intended, because, quite frankly, I just want to loosen it up a little bit. So follow after the break. Also, check Chrissy and us out. Chrissy and I out streaming every time we record an episode. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Follow me, Brian W. Green, on Instagram. And 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas on any of the podcasts aforementioned. That's all I can do. I love you. Best to you. Until next time. I will say, I do say, and I must say, goodbye!